another episode of Tennessee Forward Reading. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In today's episode, I plan on talking to you about my additions to my online bookstore, Tennessee Forward is Reading Chatterbooks. I will wrap up, well, not really wrap up, because Cheryl and I will be talking more about White Fragility, D'Angelo's book, a little bit later on this week. I will go on my rant, Why Are Intelligent People So Stupid, as well as the first part of a two-hour series with Widow Vaughn, Fussing With My Friends. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it, and thank you for listening. Some days, I think I have little TIAs. I don't think I am the smartest person in the room. I find myself working on what we would call a fund of knowledge in the contractor or consultancy game. It helps that I'm a big book hoarding nerd. And I like to read. I'm purposefully selecting books that reflect where I think my growth needs to go, and planning that route and increasing and processing all this new information in several ways, but in a positive way, making me a complete and whole person, I think, is key to my growth just as a human being. So when I am challenged with certain posts on Facebook, etc.,
so hurry in. You only have until 9 p.m. Monday, Columbus Day, to save big and finance.
For example, I had a former Facebook friend, and her kid was actually a patient of mine. It was an article in the Federalist that was by someone by the name of David Sound. He says, I didn't vote for Trump in 2016, but I crawled over broken glass to vote for him now. This book, this post, and what he considered the positive attributes of this administration was appalling and absolutely disgusting. The more I read about it. And this is why I am a cynic, and I have a personal distrust for most people. But even in my usual baseline crud muddling people hating stance, I still find this shit hurtful. Because it basically touts every racist, every misogynistic, every sexist thing this dumbass has done to destroy our democracy. For example, and I'm just going to do this point by point, and if I can get through this. Building the strongest U.S. economy in my lifetime through historic business and personal tax cuts, resulting in millions of jobs created and a record low unemployment. Fake news bullshit. The economy this fool inherited was decimated by coronavirus. We are seeing record job losses and unemployment.
on par with the Great Depression. This is just lies right here. Cutting federal government regulations that had stranglehold on American business. All the rollbacks of the EPA has made this basically a toxic waste swamp. And it did nothing. It just basically gave him a buy to basically rape our environment, making our environment unlivable to generations to come. Confronting China's trade abuses, negotiating fair trade deals with Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and Japan. No, you didn't. You set back our deficit and trade, and you basically have hurt our long-term friends. Eliminating Obamacare, individual mandate. And the people that need it, people like me with pre-existing conditions, black, brown. Yeah, that hurts that. Rebuilding our military. Nope, not so much. The investments of the military have been subverted by you allowing Russia to place bounty on our heads and you let them get away with it. Nominating and confirming a more solid and conservative circuit court judges. Nope. Again, taking away individual freedoms all for some lily white conservative Klan white supremacist views. Not cool. Moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem and then broken the Abraham Accords. Yeah, that is going to set off another round of violence, I believe, in the Middle East. Fighting Democrats to build the wall. Oh, it's not even built because they've already built the tunnels underneath it. And the more I continue to read and the more... It's just all disgusting and it's all lies. It points out several points, though. Number one, how pervasively lazy intelligent people are, because you don't fact check this shit. And are you only getting your source of news from Fox or just some other conservative or MSNBC, some other one brand where you've missed the last 4 years, not just the last 30 days, where it seems like y'all have selective memory loss. You forget and you turn a blind eye to the continued social injustice, economic injustice, and all the subterfuge and subversion of everything that we took for granted and you profited from the previous 8 years. This fool in less than 48 months has basically allowed the economy to turn on its ear. It's going to take decades to unravel all this shit. And y'all are cool with it just because it totes maybe one or two of your shenanigans and you and your false sense of supremacy. You don't care about the other millions, hundreds of millions of people that hit the policies and subsequent generations. Because y'all are cool now, you don't give a damn about anybody else. That's why mass mandates don't work. That's why we are in what we are. And that's why I don't mind being a hermit and I don't trust people. Because you allow this, you will, you know, support this kind of blatant lies. And you don't even bother about fact checking. And then you say you don't want anybody to argue with it. Like a sane person is not going to fact check and is not going to be offended by the blatant lies that these type of pieces purport. It blows me away. And the person that this originally posted this, if she hadn't blocked me this morning, I was actually checking my feed to actually go ahead and block her because, and I will say this with 100% certainty, how dare you support obvious lies? How dare you think that no one should suggest or argue against or not be offended or force you to fact check. And this basically says that you don't want any arguments. You just want us to accept something without any question when it is obviously wrong. How dare you basically post this crap and don't want anybody to react to it? I think you post it because you want to propagate more lies. You want us to live, all people to live in some fantasy land that you're not supposed to question, that you're not supposed to expand yourself. So you're okay with the turn back of time where we, no one has a voice. And it is okay for lynchings and people to be shot dead in their bed. And no, that's not from the 1950s. That's the Breonna Taylors and those gentlemen that were actually hung in the town squares right in California this year. So what you're saying to me is you're okay with being a non-questioning conservative automaton. That's what you're saying to me. And you're okay with that. Fine, be okay with that. I don't need to see you in my feed anyways. Don't ask me any questions. And when I tell your ass, I told you so, I told you so. You're going to have to live with being on the wrong side of history. And I think these type of people that support this and repost this, y'all are going to really be on the wrong side of history. And it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. And people like me, I'm not particularly liberal and I'm not particularly left-leaning. But there are going to be people like me that do have some sense. They're going to be watching your ass and you're going to be, when we're going to also be able to basically not be compelled to react to the crocodile tears. You set yourself up for failure because you would like to live in some false la-la land because you don't want to live in the truth and you don't want to do the work to be able to make yourself strong and know what is false and what is not untenable, because this kind of crap is not tenable for people that look like me and operate like me. When you report this kind and repost this kind of nonsense, I don't have time for you in my frame of reference. I don't have time for you just in my mind, because I find it is so absurd to waste time on people like you. So to women and men and others just like this fool that reposted this and the person that wrote this, kick rocks. I don't need you in my stream anymore. But it does make me want to continue to read, continue to talk with friends, to continue to better myself, because we have to do better. And we have to make these people, even though they don't want to, look more stupid, because there has to be a larger proportion of us that are doing the work, that are going to, either you're going to come kicking and screaming or you're going to be left out. And you're going to be completely unprotected, because there are also people like me that are not going to continue to support and protect your ass, because you don't get it both ways. You don't get to say and support stupid shit and then expect the same people to come and to rescue you and do for you. Fuck that. I'm not that good of a Christian. You are so on your own. Just like every hurricane that has hit, all 25 storms that have hit the Gulf Coast just this year, name hurricanes, we had to go into the Greek letters. We are not going to be able to come. This is what the first responders told to the people of Charles City. You are on your own. We are not going to be able to come for your ass if you decide to stay at least for 48 hours, if at all. This is what I'm going to say to you fools that continue to support this blatantly corrupt and stupid administration, and anyone and all of the enablers and all of the truly fake news and negative news agencies that support this nonsense that's going on right now. Bitch, you on your own. if the reckoning is coming and these fools get voted out, don't come for me because some of what the shit that they have put in place finally becomes a reckoning. And you lose, somebody lose their job. You lose all of your savings. You can't, the Obamacare that he's okay with getting rid of, all of, when you are potentially looking that your child's going to be deported because you adopted them from overseas. Just the little things that we can't fix right away that this administration has set into motion. Good luck with all of that. Because the reckoning, I honestly believe this is coming, but it's still a long, it seems like a long way away. And I keep seeing these kind of postings and it just makes me so angry because people are still this delusional. They don't do the work. They don't fact check. I have people, I just found out today from a good friend, there are still people that only watch one news outlet. I don't even watch one news outlet. I got to fact check and cross-reference with at least two or three because I don't trust any of them. I'm going to need to see more than what I'm going to see just on one. That is how an OCD sane person has to roll in these times because of the lies that are spewed. And this nonsense is what set me on edge. I was having a great Saturday morning, Sunday morning, but then you want to front. Then you want to front and post something this egregious and just nonsense. I just can't. And I'm glad you blocked me, the person that sent posted this. I'm glad you did block me because you were on the chopping block to be blocked. I honestly think it's despicable. And just stop it. Just sit down and just shut up. We don't need any more lies. We got the talking heads lying every single minute. Don't get caught up and then don't find yourself on the wrong side of history and looking back and seeing something that you supported and you didn't fact check and somebody calling you out on it and you paying the ultimate price for just a complete lack of sanity. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm tired of fussing. Y'all make my head hurt. I think this next part of the show is becoming or has become one of my most favorite creations because I get to sit and chat with great friends. I've noticed, and if I'm realistic about this, the only way that we're going to get through this self-imposed prolonged quarantine is when we get to express ourselves and get to work through our anxieties with our friends. So this next section I entitled Fussing with My Friends. This is an ongoing conversation with the Widow Vaughn. And I had to split it up into two parts because you guys would have just been subjected to a bunch of kikiing for 2 hours. And I thoroughly enjoy speaking to this woman. And she really needs to get into the broadcasting game on her own because I really love speaking to Widow Vaughn. So here is me in a genuine kiki session, Fussing with My Friends, featuring the Widow Vaughn. Here we go.
It was like 6 different stories, but it was a lot of fun. It really was.
And we got back at about
5 o'clock my time.
Was that the first time you had been out in a minute?
Yeah, honestly, like that, running around with her like that. Yeah.
I can't even remember.
6 different stores. And I'm like, oh my goodness. It felt like a long work day, but that's a shame because 6 months ago, that was nothing to do that.
I can't even remember because it's been a while since I've been in anybody's mall. I can't even say.
Okay.
The last time I really went shopping because, oh, why is my fro crooked? Okay. Okay. So I can't even say the last time that I have even gone to a store like that, because for the last couple of years, I really don't like walking in a whole bunch of malls.
Yeah.
Because I always want to call CPS on people, you know, yelling at the kids, beating the kids. So I've made it an effort to stay up out the Walmart and, you know, just malls in general. So I buy stuff, like I've been buying stuff online for a minute. So
yeah, I do that too. Speaking of, so Amazon was supposed to be bringing my packages for tomorrow. About 3 hours ago, I get an update. They're like six stops away. So I might have to just put you on mute just for like a couple of minutes if they call.
Okay, that's cool.
Because my instructions are call when you hear, because they leave the packages outside the door.
Right.
I mean, even though it's a cool complex, I still just rather go get it than have it sitting, especially at night.
Yep.
So just a heads up, if they call between now and 8 o'clock, you know, my time, I may have to just, hey, hold on 1 second. If you see this, then I'm talking to them on the phone and I'm gonna run down the stairs and get it. So
that's cool. So your house is a townhouse. Where are you?
No, it's a condo. And I see I still have brand new boxes. I just bought a shelf that's leaning up in the back. My twin.
Is that an old school? What is that? Is that a, what is next to you? Is that a turntable to
yes,
your
a record player.
I've
got albums and everything. I'm glad you could see that. Yes, ma'am.
Because it looks like mine.
Oh, it does? I got mine from Finger Hut.
I got mine from Walmart in Oregon, in Coos Bay. That's one of the best thing I actually bought while I was there. Yeah, it was in my RV for a long time. And that's when I started collecting vinyl. It was just in 2017. And I got the turntable. And I love that thing.
I love it. I started collecting albums again. I'm like, didn't we have like the bomb collection albums? I wish I had saved those, I swear.
You know, I grew up, my dad was a DJ, and I wasn't allowed to touch his albums because that was his one of his side things he did on the side. But that's all me and my sister are waiting for him now. We wait for him to die so I can get them
man.
Albums. I'm just saying.
That was funny.
Because he got them all stacked up with the speakers, old school speakers.
Ready to go. Yeah.
His nickname was Shine. I'm getting Shine's album. I just want my dad.
Oh my God.
I
can only imagine the collection.
I'm sure he started like right after when he came back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because he DJed as long as I can remember as a kid.
Okay.
And so he has hundreds. My little record collection is nothing. But he needs to come up off the records for real.
Oh my God, what a day. How are you? I love your hair, by the way. It's growing.
It is crazy. Well, see, okay, so all I did today was, after I texted you texted me earlier, because I had gotten up this morning and I actually did laundry. And I was sitting and I was, you know, because I had written out the fifth episode of my podcast.
Oh, nice.
For Survival Code. So I was just typing up and I was adding stuff. And then I realized that they never contacted me to arrange for payment for my storage. And it's just kind of rain. It's been raining since last night.
Really? So, okay.
I got up, got the paper, did laundry, and I was just doing stuff, just putzing around. I blew out my hair. Let's back up. Warrior Oil by Head and Shoulders.
Really?
I heard about that on one of the other podcasts, The Read. This is a result of Royal Oils, because I had put my hands like in my hair, and I was like, whose hair is this? I don't know. It's kind of big.
It looks good. It's so vibrant and full.
It's crazy. So it's really Michael Jackson today. I was just sitting here and I realized several things. I didn't realize just how alone I was. until I hung out with Lawrence last night, not before last.
I can't wait to hear about that too. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, it was just so much fun. We only got to kick it for a couple of hours because he got off work a little bit late, but it was just so good vibing with another Black human being.
Yes.
Is that weird to you? It's because, you know, like my landlady here, she's nice, but she's not African American. She's a female. We have some of the same views on the world, but it's still not the same, Yvonne. And I'm realizing that. And I'm like, it's nice that
not the same. I get
to vibe with you and Janelle and everybody by Zoom, but it's still not the same as the one-on-one connection. Just by being outside, I hadn't
like that physical, literally that physical. Oh my goodness!
I haven't been in a restaurant since March. The beginning of March was the last time I was in anybody's restaurant.
Physically,
So sitting at Food Works, day before yesterday, it was kind of surreal because we had my mask on and I was still writing. That was the other thing I got. It was outside I was writing. And I was writing so much because I was wasn't even listening to the people at the other table. And so when they got up to leave, she was like, "You're not writing about us, are you?" And I'm like, "No, I have no idea what y'all were talking about."
Who are you?
Because I forgot my headset at home. Okay. I wouldn't have heard anything, but I really was not focused on them at all. And I'm like, how dare you be so vain to think I'm writing about your
ass? That's what I was about to say. What a narcissistic opinion.
Seriously. That's like, are y'all not saying anything? I probably didn't say anything I would be interested in writing for this podcast because I'm writing about a lady and her two doctors escaping from New York before the pandemic first hit. So, I'm not writing about y'all. And I got, the reason why I got weepy, I've been kind of weepy like for the last couple of days is because I'm sitting here in this apartment. And I don't know, I'm not really familiar with the being settled or what. I'm just not really used to no drama and really no drama and what happiness is because I'm calm. I'm safe. I have a nice little temperature, not having a hot flash, you know? This is a very odd, this settled feeling is odd to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain that even more because I don't want to keep cycling on it, but it's a feeling that it's a feeling I have not had in a while.
Okay.
I'm having difficulty processing it.
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute. I'm gonna have
to touch. Sure. Absolutely.
I'm having too much fun. Having the time to write. I'm having too much fun, with other pursuits. I get to dream up more ways and what to add to my ramen. I don't know how to act.
I love that. I hear you. I know. And when you sent that text, I said, oh my God, I've had so many days like that the past 6 months, even the past year. I completely understand. That's why I'm so really glad to be here now with my twin. Immediately when I got here, it was just like, oh my God. I let out this sigh and I didn't realize how I had been living mentally, for the past 6 months to a year. Everything you just said, I can relate to.
Yeah, you feel like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time. Yeah. You don't know what's really going to happen. And then to be really settled, it is unsettling. Because I'm just not used to it. And it still takes a minute for you to basically have to talk yourself off the edge that you gotta put yourself on because there's nothing else really going on. But there's still some stuff going on. Yeah. I mean, that is really frightening. Yeah. The last thing was, with the hurricane, 25 named storms. We had to go into the Greek letters, Garrett. Almost 750,000 people without power in the second time they got hit in so many weeks in Louisiana.
Oh my gosh.
Had the highest rate of new infections and higher death rates coming out over the last 24 hours. There's still, COVID is still stalking us and people don't get it. And then
right, yeah.
And then I got a Huffington Post. 10,000 minks, Gert. 10,000 minks in Utah at the fur farms died of COVID. They trying to figure
out.
Yes. Evidently, according to this report.
Did you say 10,000?
10,000. That is like 10 Superfly coats. 100 Superfly coats dead.
Wow. COVID. Oh my God. Jeez.
That's one of the 50 species besides man that is susceptible to this virus.
Did you hear about in previously like dogs? I think a couple of dogs or a cat, right? I believe I had
a couple of dogs, cats, and the yeah. lion at the New York Zoo.
Okay.
And that was at the beginning.
10,000.
So if you didn't do weed before or some other type of psychotropic drug, that's one of the reasons why I'm like, why alcoholism is up, drug use is up, because people clink, because people
yeah.
want to escape, but you have to use other mechanisms to cope. Yeah.
People are looking for vices in all the wrong places. Going back to the ex they should stay away from, looking for love, vulnerable, like you say, the drugs, the alcohol. So Illinois' marijuana sales have been at an all-time high, surprise, surprise, the past few months. Over 463 million. Yes, it is.
Yes. So I know, I think they like, what is it? The demand is outstripping the supplies in all of the legal states. There's been so many arrests with people getting caught here in Tennessee. It's not legal here. There are no.
Okay. It's at an all time high. It's telling you, and we haven't even hit the heart of holiday season yet, which already has this on share. We talked about this. People already have a level of sadness and depression. Add COVID on top of that. Oh my goodness.
I think it's what's causing people to make some really foolhardy decisions about gathering, because they're like, well, I'm just so tired. I'm just so fatigued with that. And I'm like, well, they crave being around other people to the point of where they're willing to take that risk of something that could really kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't have that type of wish. I really,
right.
There's just so much stuff that I want to do and I can't do it if I'm dead.
But you made such a prevalent point. You didn't realize until you were out with Lawrence, right? Isn't that something?
And it really was something I thought,
to you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be weird, you know, trying to sit there, you know, and making sure that the tables and stuff were far enough apart. We were outside and in a mask. And it was just odd being able to share the same space with someone and we could talk and get caught up. And then I got to show him my big Bubba truck.
Yep.
Also to check on him because he had broken his arm several
You said ago. That. Yeah.
And he's feeling better and he's doing better. But then he
so
had
you're
to go
close
back.
To him. So where you moved and where you live now, you guys are close in proximity to
exactly.
each other.
He actually, his house is in Snow Mountain.
Okay.
But he was even closer because he was on a go live in North Georgia in Dalton at a Hamilton Medical Center in Dalton. And so he was up here for the week, and I don't know if he's coming back next week because he had to leave. His dog is not feeling well, so.
Aww.
And he's
sorry to hear that. Yeah,
he has an older dog. He may have to euthanize him. Been there too.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So that's his companion. You said he lives alone, right? He lives by himself.
Has a whole bunch of friends that are close where he lives and from in Atlanta, but that was his road dog.
That's a tough one. That's heartbreaking. That's going to be really hard. Oh my God. They're like family. They're family members. Oh, I feel so sorry to hear that. Especially
but he's not dealing, but he's kind of cool. He is going to deal with it. He's not going to be as whiny as that other dude that I had to block. Lawrence is definitely not. Because I can expect he's going to handle it. Lawrence is the smoothest brother I know. And he's just perfect gentleman, Detroit strong. That other fool is a wimp. And yeah,
I was crying. You
the
had
same wine and crap. I'm like, oh, here we go.
I still remember that text. I was howling. So you finally just blocked him. I remember.
You I can't me. Deal. I just can't deal with the crap.
You said I can't. I can't.
I just can't. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of time.
That was easily going to be minimum 2 to 3 hour conversations.
Exactly. And I knew it. And I called it. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm so glad you all had. I loved seeing that picture. And it I was like, oh my God.
With everybody. And then I started feeling sad because I realized like you and Cheryl and the other Cheryl and yeah. Janelle, that there's so many people that I want to go see, and it would be great to be able to see them in person, but I know I can't because it's really
nice. And I can't. I was telling everyone, even people who want to come here, I say, I'm giving you a heads up. I'm social distancing. I'm not hosting. I'm not visiting.
And this year, and it's
nothing
sad,
in 2020. Yeah.
Yep. Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a wrap. It's going to be in the house. I'm not really, unless I'm still thinking about Barbados. I'm still thinking about rolling out.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a good. Are we allowed there? We as Americans?
Yeah, we can actually get a flight, and they now doing testing on American. I can have the result back in a couple hours, and I'm gonna be.
Oh,
by
that's
myself.
Awesome!
Yeah, you know, I ain't going nowhere. So
that's actually a good, because all you're gonna do is just probably stay somewhere all inclusive.
Anyway, I'm gonna get my stuff, get stuff delivered, go in and out for, because where I want to stay is right on the beach. So,
yes. Oh my gosh.
Nah,
yeah.
Not going to town, not going to leave the shop. I'm going to just sit in the water, put my feet in, go back in the house, take a nap.
There you go. See, like I said, I'm with my sister, and then her sons are probably going to come over. And that's it. It's so low key. And they're going to come over that Sunday because they're working pretty much that weekend. So we're doing ours. It's not going to be the traditional, but we'll be together, you know, so that's cool. Yeah.
And have you've heard from your brothers?
Yes, in Texas, they're still, and he's going store crazy, poor baby. They do minimum of 4 trips a year, minimum, for years. He's losing his mind. He already has trips booked up to 2027. because he's losing himself in all these different places, looking at hotels. And I was like, poor baby, he's going crazy. He really is. He's having a hard time, I could tell. And so they've been doing this even before they had kids. They just celebrated their 18th anniversary.
Wow.
For 20 years, it was nothing for them to take. They always went to Disney World. That was just a staple. And they used to go every Thanksgiving. That was that's shot. They always went somewhere, their anniversary, which is September, that was shot. And they do 2 cruises a year, wherever. Those were both shot.
All the cruises have been canceled until 2021, from what I understand.
Because he said, hey, this cruise March. I said, nope, don't do it. X, too soon. He said, but I said, don't do it.
Bro.
I said, all the medical conferences that I'm involved with already pushed their stuff back to August and September. And that's a strong finger cross right now. So I said, don't do it, bro. That's too soon. Well, I knew it was bad when Broadway already pushed their season back till May. And that's a question mark. So they canceled everything up until May. I just heard. So people are already bypassing even spring now with possibility.
I mean, because people won't listen. And then the rhetoric, and this is a lot of stuff. So what I also, because I've been talking, I keep coming back to this. And now I found the name of it. I was reading a post from Huffington Post. It's called Blaxitter. B-L-A-X-I-T. It's a group of people. There are a whole bunch of people that think like I do. And it's always been this way. Bunch of Black folks are like, you know what? We out. They notice how the racism that increased when Obama was here and how people started wilding out and they started saying those snarky things, and it just increased exponentially with the current occupants. So I can only imagine. It's great that Kamala Harris, because she was awesome. That's what we got to talk about her and her, the performance of the VP debate.
I said, go ahead, Kamala.
And I'm so sad that I do know what kept me from trusting her when she was running for president. And I'll freely admit it, but I think her in as a VP and how she handled that blustery Grand Dragon Pence was amazing. And I think it's a great thing, but I think people are going to come out of their grandmom's basement and their mama's basement and be going to start staring up the same shit. They basically tried to snatch Whitmer, Governor Whitmer of Michigan. The militia came after her, and they got pictures of these fools when they stormed a few months ago. They activated. There are a bunch of crazy mugs that are activated that think it's their God-given right.
Right.
Just take out all the entire government and we just going to be lawlessness. But they going to rule, but they don't like the current government. So they're going to do it by any means necessary.
Right. It's a crop of people like that. And in addition to the vigilantes, because we keep talking about it, I will talk about this often. I will still never forget that Trayvon Martin could ever from a vigilante. Lord, I mean, and it's so many more. On that level, this was insane. That this was insane about that governor. Why?
You know, and also, and we're still systematically murdering Black men, unarmed Black men. However, did you hear the rest of the story? The guy that got shot in Texas.
No, tell me, please.
So, evidently, they pulled up. Right after the Black Lives Matter, always. Yep. Black Lives Matter protest started right after George Floyd was murdered. He gets on Facebook Live and posts a several minute video of why his life does matter, but he's never had any problem with the police. He went full blown Terry Crews. He's only felt love from other
white. Oh, okay. I remember. I know exactly who you're talking about now. Yep.
Okay. So he and with Terry Crews, the thing with America Got Talent, how he threw Gabrielle Union under the bus.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I don't know if it happened to her. And it basically is like, it doesn't exist. Because it didn't happen to me, that means it doesn't exist.
Right.
He didn't support her at all. Nick Cannon,
exactly.
But he didn't. But, and that's why I use the Terry Crews logic. Just because it didn't happen to me, it means that it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So he was like, I'm a Black man. I've been stopped for speeding multiple times, and I've never been pulled out of my car, thrown on the ground, or shot in the car, or any of that stuff. So when he gets, and he said, I've never had any problem, blah, 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 with my white girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. That was beginning of the summer. And they unloaded that dude, that cop who's now got fired, but cop kills him. He's breaking up a fight. And he's not the offender. They try to subdue him. He gets tased and then he shoots him. So where is the logic in that?
Exactly.
And I wonder in his last thought, I should have kept my mouth shut. And
I don't know if he was really just so shocked and stunned that those were his final experiences, was just shocked and stunned.
This is really happening to me now.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's like,
exactly. You and I know just the hundreds of stories that don't get reported.
Exactly.
Even you and I and Janelle talking recently, even within our own families, our own experiences. We don't go around talking about that at breakfast table in our company meetings. We don't talk about that, but it happens and it exists. Yeah.
They got the body camera. They got the surveillance camera because it was at some convenience store or gas station. So they got it all on tape. It's another snuff film that they got the video. But you're right. There are hundreds of thousands of others.
Oh, my goodness.
Very similarly.
Daily.
Black men, black women. Daily. So it's awful. And I just, and again, I've become even more hermit. And I tell people straight up, I really don't like people. There's like maybe five people that I like in the world. And everybody else, I just kind of tolerate. But I don't trust anybody. No. And I just don't feel safe in my own skin anymore.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that. And it makes me so angry. Yeah. That I hate, I'm a mark. I am a target every yeah. single day. And I don't know if anybody, it's other Black women and other African-American Black women, Black men, people of color that probably wake up just like me.
Yeah,
I don't feel comfortable in my own skin because I don't know if somebody's going to just yank me out my shit and just unload their gun.
Oh, let me put you on hold one moment. They're here. Okay.
No problem. I'm going to mute this.
All right.
So I don't like living that way, but it's our reality now. And I don't,
it is.
I just,
and like you say, especially where you live, it's not like you're in a hustle. Now that was one thing that was pretty cool where I lived before. It was so, there were so many people, you know, even if I did scream or something happened, I would have at least 5 or 10 people running out to find out what's going
on.
That's
different for me.
When you're like in the backwoods and shit, you know, and you live by yourself, oh my goodness, right?
Yeah. Well, before my house in Lumberton and Fayetteville, the house in Fayetteville was in the county and man-made lake, and the houses, okay. you know, a little bit spread, but it's more yeah. the county. Lumberton, again, was in the neighborhood, and it's the same as. The street here on Mississippi Avenue is not busy, but I do sit by the window and I'll be just spying on them. I'll be just looking at my neighbors. I'm like, oh, there's people around. No crackheads though. Ain't no crackheads. There are people walking their dogs. There are people walking yeah. with their families. They're biking. They're so outdoorsy here in the mountain. I'm like, go ahead yeah. on y'all. I ain't going out there though, but I'll keep all that. I'm like, yep, mm-mm. And it's so quiet. I heard
it's
like
so somebody peaceful.
Is yeah, they when they deliver, I can hear the trucks and I heard the somebody is moving. So I heard the moving van, the
oh. door
closes, it's so quiet.
That's it's quiet. Like, yes. Yeah.
But other than that, Nottinger is real okay. quiet.
How was it? So you and Lawrence met up mm-hmm. at the restaurant? Cool. Nice.
We were initially, I had checked out a couple of places.
Now, where exactly, what, in Tennessee, where were you? What city?
Chattanooga. I was in Chattanooga, and we ended up going to a restaurant not even 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, perfect. Oh, good, good.
And so, it was weird because we were initially going to go more down to downtown or the Palms, which is a kind of frou-frou steakhouse, blah, blah. They have live music on Thursday because that's what I was looking for. This other place was Boho Chic they had ramen and live music. And then I was thinking, and I thought about it. And then Lauren was like, live music during an epidemic? And I was
Yeah. Because I'm like, was it maybe a guitarist and then the sax player? Like, you know.
Oh, hell no. I have no idea. That's why we ended up on the
food work. I know.
Ain't no live music here.
Yeah. Someone at the piano, maybe a pianist.
Exactly. That's and that was the take on the Palm because they have music at live music as well as a piano bar. But I ain't going nobody singing. You ain't giving
no
spreader. Mm-hmm. Nah.
Well, your whole mouth is open and you're singing through with all your zest and bravado.
Nope. Yes. So we ended up going to Food Works and I had the best grilled steaks topped with portobello mushrooms. Oh. And Lawrence had a 5-cheese, 2-meat lasagna.
Oh,
that was heart attack on a
repeat. Repeat that one more time. Wait, Five cheeses.
Two meat. Lasagna. It was crazy. I can't picture that.
Ridiculous. Oh my goodness.
I sent the picture. I took the picture and it's on Facebook. That's his lasagna.
I haven't been back on. I'm gonna go on later tonight.
I'll send you the picture because if you've done like me, I pulled back off Facebook.
I have.
I saw the 1 year old birthday party mask. I had to come off of it.
I'm reduced now too because I get notifications of messages. They stack up. I'm reduced to checking Facebook now right before bedtime at like 12:30 a.m., 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm on there literally once a day now, period. I just check, and mainly to look through those messages. After about 5 minutes of scrolling, I'm like, eh, and then I'm done. Seriously. But okay, if you put a post, I'll personally go to your page to look
at my love buttons. Hold tight, so you won't even waste your time going up there.
I can't, two cheese lasagna. First of all, I'm liking Lawrence for that alone. Like, okay.
Yeah. It was just, this is the crazy shit right here.
Did you enjoy it? Did you taste any?
It wasn't really offered because I didn't offer any of my pork chop either. So I'm just going to put that out there. It just looked really good. And he was grubbing. So I knew it was good. And that's what he ended up saying. And we also had fried green tomatoes too.
Everything was over the top.
Crazy.
Okay, I have your text. I'm already planning to lose an extra 5 or 10 pounds so that when I come visit you in the South, I'm going to make up for that and put on about 10 pounds just eating alone. That is my plan. Look at that picture. Oh my goodness.
They call that casual American fare. That's how the restaurants are here. Food Works is not a national brand. So The steakhouse, we could have gone to Sugar's on the Ridge. We could have gone to the ramen. I got 2-3 ramen places, Rice Box. There's a whole bunch. And also, if Lawrence didn't have to go and help his puppy, there is a local brewery that's right across the street from the Boathouse. The Boathouse is a seafood restaurant that's right on the Tennessee. So we go over, because the Boathouse, it's Tacoma or something like that. It's only open from 5 to 8. You get some your crab feet over there. Walk across the street and then you get your eat on at the Boathouse at the seafood restaurant. On the Tennessee, sit on the deck and watch the waves of the mighty Tennessee go by. It's wonderful.
Oh, just the way you describe that, I tell you. Oh my goodness.
And then maybe just get some goat to clumpies and get a couple of sherbets, to cleanse your palate so you can start all over again.
I was with my good friend earlier. I love her, known her since grammar school, Lillian. And we were talking about that. I said, this summer, no barbecues, no travel, no beach, no tan. Nothing. Mm. And now we're moving into, I'm so curious about Halloween, how that's going to go down. Now, one thing I've seen that I hadn't seen in a while, there are people who had decorated in the past, but now people just really went all out.
That's what I'm noticing here. People are really changing up their houses.
Man.
Maybe it's going to be a drive-by that you can get out and drive and look at the lights, but ain't nobody.
You know what? You just made a valid point. I wonder if that's what's going to happen. I bet you some neighborhoods have that plan. You know how we've seen the birthday drive-bys and such, the drive-through with the car, maybe handing out the candy that way. That's a great point. I'll be curious. I'm going to follow the news.
Right in my window and watch it because they all the houses decorated. I ain't going out there.
This one gentleman, I remember years ago, he was just like the coolest neighbor. First of all, he was one of the ones who actually had the full-size candy bars, not the mini.
Yeah.
And he had a giant tub, like the big tub where you loaded up with ice and beer. It was loaded up with candy. And it was a giant sign, "Happy Halloween. When it's gone, it's gone. Don't ring my doorbell." And so he just left it up to the discretion on how polite you are as a trick-or-treater, how greedy you are as a trick-or-treater. When it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. It's
like, don't ring my bell. But it's the regular size candy bars and all of that. So I wonder if, I don't know, we'll see. I'm interested. I'll follow the news to find out how that was celebrated in many of the communities.
And that's the other thing too. My nerves are so bad, you know, being outside with potential ghosts, and there is no way. There was a haunted house here that you had to sign a waiver just in case you had a heart attack in that motherfucker. I think that's closed. They ain't doing that this year.
First of all, that's all it would take for me is a disclosure. That's all I need.
I'm like, oh no, it's a wrap. If you got to basically have me sign my life away, if I lose my life up in here, no, it's good. I'm good. I never like those things anyways.
I'm same here. I don't like horror movies. I never did. I'll never forget, my husband made me do a marathon with him of Saw.
Oh, wow.
It was. And I said, it was during the daytime. I said, the stipulation, we cannot go past 4:00 p.m. So we're watching Saw like on the weekend at 11, 12. And I'm like, why am I sitting here watching this? This is insane. But he loved scary movies and I didn't. So I appeased him a couple of times. He was like, yeah, let's do a marathon. I don't like horror movies, Alicia.
So that means you have not, I'm having some difficulty getting into Lovecraft country.
I haven't even started it. I know it's popular. All I had to do was read the premise. I said, nope, I would love to support. I can't.
There's like episode 5 that I really want to watch because, again, Demetria Lucas, one of the other podcasters, she was just going on and on how her own mother started watching it. And she was just, she said it made her feel like she is being seen. And it portrays this Hippolyte, one of the main characters, in such a great light.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so that means I gotta watch the other 4. How am I gonna get through this? It's hard. It is really hard.
And you just passed the baton, right?
Yes.
So now hearing that, I'm like, oh.
At least I got to watch that one, but it helps that you got to watch the other ones. And then I woke up in the middle of the last one because I went to sleep watching it. And so I woke up with the last one with, what's the guy with the scar that was in the Baltimore? He was gay in that too. Oh, Omar. He played Omar.
Okay.
Michael's blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I like, oh, I love it. Oh, he's in it?
He's in the story. And there's this interaction with him and another co-star and being African-American and also gay at this period of time, his interaction was kind of violent. So it's oof, girl.
Oh, I love him. He's in it. I've been following him on Instagram. I think he was hired. I think he's a model, or he's modeling a certain fashion line, a male fashion line, and he looks amazing in these photos. But I didn't know he was acting again.
I didn't know he was in it too until I woke up.
I didn't know that.
What?
Wow. Oh, I love him. I do. I like him. I love his style.
If they don't like pop up when not crazy, like no vampires or.
I know, I'm such a chicken. So something like that, I would literally have to watch like 9 o'clock in the morning on the weekend. 9 or 10 a.m.
That said, do not watch this after night. Don't watch it at night. Don't go to sleep and then have to wake up in the middle of one of them episodes.
I have to watch that awake. And my cutoff is noon. It has to be before noon. And I don't care, I know it's all, you know, movies, and I'm a chicken. I am. I'm a chicken. I have to admit that. Yep.
And also, I'm waiting for what's our show with Uncle Clifford? P-Valley to restart back
season
up.
Season 2.
Yep.
I don't know what's happening at Tyler Perry's, but he's opened his production company up with stringent COVID-19 rules. So at least there are movies being made.
But the flip side is they are shutting down these other productions because people are testing positive. Oh. So what they need to do is adopt Tyler Perry's policy, and then you would be able to go from A point A to point B. And get your movie made half the time and then keep it moving and rotate.
He has a fantastic process to the point where I'm sure he personally is taking a personal interest. He's there all day. So in the past, you know, everyone would show up and hang out at the food place in their trailers until they were called. You'd sit there for 8 hours. So now it's literally, okay, we filmed these scenes. Thank you very much. You're good. Goodbye. Bring in the second set. So it's not everyone. And then they test, I think he said, twice a day. They follow the social distance policy in the trailers. He said it's worth it, the extra. But, you know, once they implemented certain measures, it's doable. And besides, Lord knows he has the room right at his studio. It's like miles and blocks. It's like a small city. Mm-hmm. But just to stay compliant, I'm sure his studios are booked up until the end of 2021 at this point. I'm sure he probably already made the money back, or he will make the money back within a year, everything that he spent on it. But like you say, it's just taking those measures, the proper measures. And it was fantastic to hear him interview saying, yes, but you know, we're taking this seriously, and it's a good plan. It's a good plan. Of course, I'm sure he has medical people.
Yeah, what is it going to take? Is it going to take another event, or somebody else is going to end up passing away because they picked up something on one of these sets, and then they get really sick and pass away? Not like Nick Cordero.
Oh my goodness!
They knew how he got it.
That story. I mean, his whole family, his wife, everything, that was such a sad story to follow. But I appreciate and I understand her wanting to share that, you know, with mm-hmm. the world. It can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He lost his leg and, oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah.
And is it going to take another one of those types of things when somebody else gets so severely ill from working on one of these sets or the kids get sick or the parents get sick?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even when you hear about it on a personal level, one of the first reports I heard of from a personal level was a high school classmate who died. She worked in a nursing home and she caught it along with, I think, 12 others. That's when people started paying attention. I mean, half of the people in her facility caught COVID. Mm-hmm. And she caught it as their extremely dedicated worker. And not everyone. She was a runner. She was a vegan. She was all of that. But she had asthma, I think, or respiratory issues outstanding. But when you see that happen on a level, but like I said, we had a coworker who now, even now, Yvonne, I can't go up a flight of stairs. I have to sit down for 15 minutes to catch my breath. Even trying to sleep at night. So we've talked about this, it's the aftermath that people should focus on. You know, there's damage there. You're not the same 100%. A lot of people are not, you know.
Brain, heart, muscles, and lungs. You lose those cells or the proper functioning of those cells, you may not get it back. And that's what people don't realize. Once they die off, there's no growing, you know, a new heart or growing more lungs or unless you transplant it. There is no brain transplant now. So, and in your muscles, it's a process where your body starts breaking down your muscles for energy.
Yeah.
You might not get your muscle mass back anymore because it's necrotic, it's gone. So you left with scar and you're not, it is, what makes me think, and this is, let's Hotep here for a minute.
Sure. Let's Hotep. Yes.
What makes me think that this virus is smacks of something so man-made, and this was an accident, this was a military accident. This was a biological weapon that got out. And we weren't supposed to know about it because it was supposed to get control of it and cover it up. And we were never supposed to know about this because, but, and it's just so, it smacks of being so perfectly man-made because it not only fucks us up, it basically wipes out other species. Yeah. And it basically, it says, even if you survive, you know, you're still going to be screwed up and you're not going to be able to do anything. So if it doesn't kill you, then it makes you so debilitated that you're still not going to fight back. Exactly. It just smacks a bioweapon to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's an excellent point. That is an excellent.
It's I think too perfect. It's too perfect.
Yes, exactly. You hit it right on the head. Maybe people would take it more seriously if they hear more, sure, people survived, but how are they now? How are they now? I think we should share more of this. And these are just stories that I heard on a personal front. One was a biker, and that leads you to a depression. How do you not get depressed? And then when you hear, in about a year or two, you may start feeling a little better. That's depressing.
A year or two? What?
And a year or two. She said she was, they said, well, give it about a year or so. You'll probably start, and probably it's like, and she's fine. I know mentally that's depressing. How do you not?
All these marathoners that have get taken out. And there was one, this guy, he needed to get something done with one of his joints. And I'm like, if he gets, he ain't gonna be able to do shit, you know, at all.
Nope. No, not at all. Not at all. So we should talk about, I want to follow Chris Cuomo and just, I think he had made comments about like, whoa, I'm a little different. You know, I'm not the same. I didn't come back 100% the same from this. And I appreciate when the people do share their stories as they're recovering, as they are trying to heal. She said, there are some nights where her lungs are inflamed. She can't sleep. You know, then you do, what do you do? How do you... And that can lead easily to a depression, easily, easily. Yeah.
Or you end up with anxiety attack because you think you are smothering, or you end up becoming a serious hypochondriac because your anxiety is not well managed.
Exactly.
That is also a possibility too.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. The cure seems like it's almost as worse as the illness because you get over it, you survive it, but what does survival look like? That's the question.
Well, maybe we should follow our president because he seems to be doing okay, and he has.
No, we should not because I don't believe that line sack.
I'm so sarcastic. I was so trying to say that.
Sarcastic mug. You are so funny, Gear.
I was trying so hard to listen to myself say that out loud.
Without laughing.
I can't even begin to get started. It's like, where does one even begin with all of that? Honestly,
what is your take? Timeline aside, or timeline seriously consider, it was bullshit from the beginning. I'm still mad that it dominated the headlines because there's a whole bunch of shit that they tried to slide through.
I told you.
And this was just a bait to keep people from following the real news.
Distracted. I told you that's what I do now. When something big and ridiculous, big/ridiculous happens, I'm combing, okay, what else is happening? What are we not talking about? And it's a pattern. I've been watching this religiously since February, March. The stories that are not, they're being told. It's like they the truth in plain sight. Well, we released it. We let everyone know.
And you know, with the last, did you see the last thing when that dude bailed out, the George Floyd, the guy that murdered George Floyd? He bailed out.
$1 million. Where did, first of all, it was $1 million bond.
Number one, exactly. He's a freaking beat cop. Who paid that money?
How many stories? How many people are talking about this? So I added that
to it. It wasn't even on the news. I was watching CBS. I was waiting for them to say something. And nobody said anything. They were
not
still
one
in the White House.
Word. And I said, it was so scary to me. That was so frightening to me in the sense of people, we need to pay attention. We are so programmed. Be a free thinker. My goodness, that was momentous. But what was everyone else talking about? I said, oh my God. So I added this to my timeline about all the others who were released from jail. They take advantage of what's really going on. Okay, now is a perfect time to sneak in and steal the diamonds and round where they have the costume party outside. Mm-hmm. No one will see us. I said, OMG, wow. It's just fascinating, fascinating.
Yep. And it's like, it's, they released him. He got released. Somebody bonded a beat cop out. Breonna Taylor, the tapes were, and all the files were released. We're still waiting for, yep. And I'm really hyped up because I'm like, why is this grand juror wanting to tell his story? Because there is something that happened during those proceedings that he wants to talk about.
And it's being blocked. It's being blocked.
And nobody's talking about that.
That's my point. That's exactly it. Everyone's, I've seen more stories.
I've never seen about a brand fly. This hard.
I've seen more stories and conversations about the fly than the real news, even though that was funny when I was watching it at the time.
So again, the fly was a freaking distraction.
Yes.
Because it got in the way of every point that Kamala Harris made. So that's where we're going to start right there.
Yep.
I found it refreshing that I got to hear what a debate should be, like the policy. This is what I was expecting.
Sure.
That
from our
I
world leaders
all expected a debate, a presidential debate to be. You know, they heard, from what I understand, because I didn't watch it, this was how at least Hillary got to speak and she got to talk about policy. That nonsense 2 weeks ago, the presidential debate was foolishness. At least this time, and at least, but he did it with a smile, but he was very evasive and demeaning and just kind of brushing her off. And he wouldn't, and when she would interrupt him, she would snatch him like somebody from Oakland would have. There were several times where they panned on her face and she looked like she wanted to dive over that plexiglass to throat punch him.
See, that's the cultural thing because we understand those looks.
She was giving him the side eye, like a nigga please look. And
when the eyes start squinting, some things are just cultural.
She was hysterical because she caught herself. She didn't go full Oakland on him. She really did elite law degree. I know what I'm talking about, senator, prosecutor. Yes. She was wonderful. And what I was going to say, told you before is, I don't think I supported her for a presidential bid for a lot of erroneous reasons. I was like I was misinformed, and then I didn't know until I did my own research about what her record was as a prosecutor.
Right.
And you can't be a successful and become Attorney General of a state.
Thank you.
The largest states in the country.
The second largest,
behind Texas. So with that said, Nager, she did her job and she did it well. And she did a very commendable job at some of the first that she did while she was as a prosecutor and then as Attorney General was amazing.
Right.
She has a very good progressive across the aisle until recently, across the aisle working and her working on the Security Council has made her especially qualified to be VP, and definitely she could have been a great president. And I'm sad that I did not support her, but I think she is young enough where I don't know, Joe is going to have to retire. He going to be 82 if he gets it. And then once...
Well, that's the question. That's the $10 million question mark. If
he gets it. So it's still not guaranteed. Yeah. Because they have already said they're not going to leave if they lose. And then they go, and we know they're going to cheat. Yes. So it's a big... It's up in the air. So I was actually highly pleased with the entire debate. And I wasn't yelling as loudly and as often.
Yes.
Because I started muting him and blocking his face, I'm good.
Because at the end of the day, even if you're going through that, show some class, show some dignity. You are in a high position, thank you. If nothing else, that at least the presentation of yourself, say the right things, even if it's sugar-coated and pancaked with BS. Present yourself on this alone, because that first, I had never seen anything like that.
Is this a prank?
Is this
I thought I was being punked. I thought it was like a Saturday Night Live skit.
I was astounded. And man, talk about, because I love watching BBC World News at the end of the day. That was such a travesty, the way it was reported. The entire world saw that. Maybe. Yep.
And I think, you know, as a people and as a country, we're watching the shit show dumpster fire that is our democracy just imploding right before our eyes, nightly on CNN and et cetera. And that's enough to keep up.
What would the forefathers have thought taking a sneak peek at that?
Number one, Lincoln would have been pissed the freak off. He would have looked at that and said, this is not my party. Who is this fool? All of the Woodrow Wilsons of the world, the Thomas Jeffersons, this is not what George Washington, this is not what we meant. What is going on here and in the Senate and then this rush back to conservatism? This is not what we meant. Because y'all are doing the most you're saying it's conservatism, but it's a return to a time of oppression and when racism was king and it was okay. Yeah. Women didn't have the right to vote. They didn't have the right to manage their own bodies. You want to return to a time when it was okay to be dumb and stupid.
Yeah.
And that's not a time that or a place that I want to live in. I'm not that old Negro.
No,
I'm not going to be able to do that.
And ever since, and I blame you for it in a beautiful way. When you first were talking about Costa Rica,
because there's options. When and ever a time have you ever been in where we would have to think about getting the hell out of Dodge? You know, like, I've been seeing it since Costa Rica. I'm sorry I put the seed in you, but I there is just so much that I'm too old. I'm going to be 50 next year. I don't want to live like this with this type of uncertainty. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. I was telling my twin, I said, DV, OMG. We're going to be 58 years old at the end of the next presidency.
Right.
Honestly. And I said, twin, I'm not trying to be in my 60s. I know how I feel now at 54 and my exhaustion with people and the world from living a hard life, yet a beautiful life since I was 7 years old. I'm fucking tired.
I'm just lazy.
Why do we have to have a plan?
Why do we have to have a plan to vote just to freaking vote? And if and also have an extraction plan if some shit pop off, I gotta have on speed dial some people that can come get a sister at that on a higher level.
Yeah. So
why? Who wants to live like that?
And it doesn't help following my amazing high school teacher, our English and theater teacher, who now is a citizen of Barcelona, watching her daily life. That doesn't help.
No.
That doesn't help at all. She said this is the best that she has ever felt in her. And I mean, every day is a, and it's just like, damn. So between our Costa Rica conversation and watching her, I'm like, you know what? Let me kind of explore plan B right now. Seriously.
Oh, I'm serious. Goodness. I mean, any place that Rihanna is the appointed ambassador of culture.
Yeah, right.
And their average temperature is 71 degrees. I'm just saying, girl.
Oh, and why did I resumed my obsession with House Hunters International?
Yeah.
For $800 a month, you can have this. This one place looked like a freaking condo on Michigan Avenue, downtown Chicago, $800 a month. I was like, are you kidding me? Things were in walking distance. You didn't need a car. It was just like, oh, I can do $800 a month and live like a princess? Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm a person. One, a studio. I don't even need a one bedroom. I'm good. I'd be good.
Can you imagine having a studio apartment that you are on the top or bottom floor, preferably the top, and you look out and all you see is crystal blue water? That's all you see. Really? Okay,
that's
I'm good.
A dream. That's a dream. You don't need curtains. Because all you see, like you say, is blue. You drink your coffee, you wake up, you go to sleep, you nap, you nod off, you wake up. It's just peace.
What makes sense is if you have a podcast about reading and you own an online bookstore, then when you update the offerings of your online bookstore, it should become a part of the show. Well, duh. So I have taking this opportunity to significantly update my several sections of the bookstore. One of the sections that I really like is the children's book section, because I believe if I had been offered this, even in Newtown Road, I definitely would not have been reading Firestarter and Salem's Lot and Mandingo between the third and fourth grade. And I would have also been given a positive self-image. This week I added Loretta Little Looks Back, Three Voices Go Tell It by Andrea Davis Pinckney and her husband Brian Pinckney. They are a dynamic duo, and they bring together an innovative and beautifully illustrated novel that delivers a front seat to the groundbreaking moments in history that led African Americans earning the right to vote. And I think it's amazing because it's in the voice, and it follows this members of the Little family. They present their vivid story of their lives spanning three generations. And it creates an unforgettable journey. And in this day of voter suppression, and as we the run up to the election, I think this book would be a great book for kids to understand, or to get a better understanding of what's going on. There is Black Heroes, a Black History book for kids by Arlesha Norwood. Our history is more just than MLK and Rosa, although they are great. We need to know more about other great African Americans that made this country, like Rebecca Lee Crumpler, the first Black MD, from the rulers of ancient Egypt to modern sciences, world-class athletes, and legendary performers. Uncover the diverse lives of Black leaders and role models throughout history. Black Heroes, a Black History book for kids, is packed with tons of awesome biographies of Africa, the United States, and around the world. And this is a possibility for me to actually buy this book and maybe make this the biographies as a starting point for a multi-part series during Black History Month, or just scattered throughout the year. I'm thinking I'm going to, yeah, this is going to be one of my next purchases. I always say this, and I've said this in the past. I'm like a crackhead. I'm a book hoarder, and a book hoarder with a online bookstore is like craziness. But this is like one of those books that I'm definitely going to add to my arsenal as upcoming work for my show. Also, I love this book about the Black heroes of the West. I'm going to have to add this one too. It features Stagecoach Mary and Bass Reeves and Bob Lemons. It's by James Otis Smith. Stagecoach Mary is a 19th century Black woman. She's referred to by multiple derogatory names, but it basically reimagines how we have, as Black people, have contributed to the Wild Wild West. Then there's the Compton Cowboys, a young reader's edition, and the fight to save their horse ranch. It's about a group of African-American men and women who defy the stereotypes and continue the proud centuries-old tradition of Black cowboys in the heart of America's most notorious city, Compton. I added in the youth section the book by Pearl Fuyu Gaskins, What Are You? In the past three decades, the number of interracial marriages in the United States has increased by more than 800%. Now, over 4 million children and teenagers do not identify themselves as being just one race or the other. This is a book that allows young people to speak in their own voices about their own lives. I also enjoy adding to my FUBU section, Black Gun Silver Star, The Life and Legend of the Frontier Marshal Bass Reeves. He's actually in the children's book that I added also previously. He is one of the notable Oklahomians, the most feared U.S. Marshal in Indian country. He was also an African-American who spent his life as a slave in Arkansas and Texas. He was a slave, and this makes his accomplishments all the more remarkable. What's even more remarkable that the book got written because when Art Burton, the author, made inquiries into the local historical societies, this is what the same refrain he kept getting. I'm sorry we don't keep Black people's history. Are you fucking kidding me? He actually made it safe for Oklahoma, and you don't keep his history, really? Some people suck and think it's okay to exclude a whole race of people from the history of your territory. That's ridiculous. He was part fact, part legend, but you get to discover one of the most outstanding peace officers in the late 19th century America, and perhaps the greatest lawman of the Wild West era. I wonder if Marshall, well, that's Gunsmoke, that's Colorado, I believe, if there could ever be a Black Western featuring this gentleman. I would watch that, you know, even in today. But I think we would have to reconcile his brand of policing and the annihilation of the Native American people. But if you read further in the summary of the book, he was a Renaissance man because he spoke multiple indigenous people tongues. I'm gonna have to read this because I think that anything on Nat Turner and this guy would make for a great series. Just saying. Then there's the Historic Acres Homes, the 44, by Priscilla Graham and James Thibodeau. Acre Homes was established in 1910 for working class Black families, laborers, farmers. It was waterfront workers, carpenters, domestics, military, and factory workers in the Houston area. Filled with hope and self-pride, as they begin migrating and purchasing property 10 miles northwest of downtown Houston and was started by Alfred Wright. The settlement acquired its name Acreage Home from the fact that the land was sold by the acre rather than by the lot. The landowners benefited from low taxes, inexpensive land, and an agrarian lifestyle, a bit of genteel country with quick and easy access to the city. And I'm wondering, this was actually written in 2018, how people have tried to completely dismantle it and how they're hanging and on in the face of supposed gentrification and just outright people stealing their land. And then shockingly, God level knowledge darts, life lessons from the Bronx by Desus and Miro actually landed on New York Times bestseller list. Most people know them from their Bodega Boys podcast and their late night show, Desus and Miro. And who would have predicted after a fateful meeting in a Bronx summer school in the 90s that Desus and Miro would turn their friendship into an empire of talking to each other? And it's no surprise, tuning into them is like listening to the funniest, smartest people you know dissect a topic and then light it on fire. Now they've written the most essential guide to life of this century, in which all the important questions are asked. How do I talk to my kids about drugs if I do them too? What are the ethics of ghosting in a relationship? How do I bet on sports? How should I behave in jail? How much is too much to spend on sneakers? And is porn really that bad for me? Oh, that if you just want to laugh, that this is a book you need to pick up. And then more seriously is Cast, The Origins of Our Discontent. By Isabel Wilkerson, the Pulitzer Prize winning best-selling author of The Warmth of Other Suns, as she examines the unspoken caste system that has shaped America and shows how our lives today are still defined by the hierarchy of human divisions. My friend Cheryl and I will be discussing the more in-depth discussion of white fragility, why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism, hopefully later on this week. And I'm really looking forward to it, as I always look forward to speaking with my friends about the social constructs and issues of the day. But I actually have gotten really close to a conclusion on the book, and this is just, I'll say this. It's not a blueprint for racial harmony. It's more of a beginning. It's a part one. If you're looking for that type of in-depth discovery, more historical context, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to actually have to buy her next book, because as I've been saying before, this book speaks to a sequel. But there also is a great list of books that I have added to Chatterbooks, where you can continue your anti-racist education. It's lifelong, just like being an African-American in this country. If you want self-growth, you're going to have to continue to do the work. Sanity, same thing. But your anti-racist education does not stop. And D'Angelo made it clear in her book. I do agree that she basically calls out white people on their shit. She does it a little bit, kind of a soft take from an academic's angle, but it's relatable. And it's obvious the person that I had to... that ghosted me, or someone that of your kind of Facebook acquaintances, but you definitely would not, obviously hadn't read the book, at least that book. And it's a quick read, but if you don't think anything's wrong with you, you're not going to read a book like D'Angelo's book, White Fragility. You're not going to understand when you post just blatantly historically inaccurate things that you just appear uninformed, and you appear, why would we even comment? And why we don't think our feedback as African American is going to be well received? Because you post stupid shit, and then you tell people this is not up for argument, and this is just what you believe. How can you believe that when there's so much information that's contrary to what you are purporting? And she makes that point. You got to be in a receiver and take the feedback, and don't get defensive. Search why you're getting defensive and why you were actually wrong and what you did was problematic. And that's what I think. That was the last part of that book. Being able to take the feedback and then genuinely making a change. And that's why I actually like the book. It is problematic in some places, but I get it. It's not for me. That particular ending solidified the fact that if you're going to do the work, you're going to need to be able to take the feedback because of your interactions to be more fulfilling and to be authentic. You're going to be able to have to take the feedback. And also, this is one of the first additions to my anti-racist section of my bookstore. I've made other additions also. I've also added Stamped Racism, Anti-Racism, and You from the best-selling authors Jason Reynolds and Ibrahim X. Kendi. The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness by Michelle Alexander. Racism Without Racist, Colorblind Racism and the Persistence of Racial Inequality in America. I also discovered that, even very disturbing, that Candace Owens' book is number 3 on the New York nonfiction bestseller list. And it's about why we should part ways with the Democratic Party, and I counter why we can't join the Republican Party. It would be better to join Kanye West's delusional birthday party. I think she's divisive, and I think she needs to shut the fuck up. I will not add her book nor that trash by Sarah Huckabee and Bill O'Reilly. All these people have books, and now I'm not carrying any of that nonsense on my site. So, I encourage you to check out my other selections for Chattabooks, and I look forward to the suggestions in upcoming shows about what I should actually carry on the site. And thanks for listening. Exactly where I'm going to be ending this episode. I've had a lot of fun. This has been a great weekend to post. I am in a more creative state of mind now that I'm full-time back in the city. So I did the entire section specifically how I updated Chattabooks, and I would encourage you to navigate to the website and leave your comments on certain selections that you think I should add. Don't think I'm going to add that John Bolton bullshit. Don't think I'm going to add Comey's book. I ain't going to add anything about from Isaiah Washington or that dumbass Nance. What's her name? I was fussing about her earlier and she got a bestseller. Owens, she don't speak for us. Candace Owens don't speak for us. But if you have more reasonable suggestions, please send them my way, either to tinfroisreading@gmail.com or leave your comments in the comments section where you listen to the podcast. You can also find other Star Trek fan fiction biographies and book swags, all at reasonable prices. Navigate to Writer's Block Coffee and use my promo code TINFROISREADING for 10% off of your order and shipping. And as always, my ship a bag of dicks, use Tinfoil Got Jokes for a discount off your order and shipping. I'm working on becoming a ambassador for both Lysol Microband, Black and Bold Coffee, as well as Warrior Oils, and whoever wants to send me samples and support a sister on her journey to multiple streams of income. If you also leave me any comments at my Gmail or in the comment section, if it's not too trolly, I might read it on air. And I also may give you some gold beans. And also a shout out to your own podcast, if you so prefer that. Stay tuned, because in upcoming segments, I'll finally post episode 5 of Survival Code, and also discussions with my friend Cheryl as we go through and just navigate through the ups and downs and the intricacies of white fragility. And as always, thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Have a great evening.